Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
Well, 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 hello, hello, and praise the Lord to everyone that has tuned in to our weekly Praise Tabernacle Bible study, where Bishop Omar Zachary is our lovable pastor, along with his wife, Pamela Zachary. We'd like to welcome everybody that has tuned in thus far. I'm sure some others will tune in just a few minutes here. And I'd like to welcome our panel that is on with us tonight, also as we do every week. And we got a great word coming to you tonight, once again, from one of our own elders, Elder Derek Oliver, a great man of God, who's a powerful speaker and teacher. And so we just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. And we just want everybody to stay encouraged in these times. We know it's rough out there in the world today. And we just want everybody to continue to trust the Lord God, to continue to be in our lives and lead us and guide us in all of our, in everything that we do and everything that we say. So I just want to say thank you to everyone that has tuned in. And so we're just going to get right to the word, and we're just going to have Derek Oliver, the speaker for tonight, to open up with us in a quick prayer, and then Elder Oliver, you can get right into the word. The floor is yours, Derek Oliver. Thank you, sir.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Elder Taylor. Thanks for everyone that's on the panel, Elder Bluett, Elder Taylor, Evangelist and Evangelist Bluett and Minister Tobert. I just want to thank y'all for sitting in tonight as we normally do. I'm gonna say a prayer, and then we're gonna get right into the word. Heavenly Father, we just come to you today, Father God. Father God, I ask you just to hide me behind the cross where I'm not seen, but your word is seen. Father God, give me the wisdom, the words to say what you would have me to say. Father God, if there's anything in me that's not like you, I ask you to remove it right now, Father God. If I've done anything knowingly and unknowingly, I ask that you forgive me for it. Father God, give the listeners the ear to hear the word, and not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm not going to be before you long on tonight. join this Bible study, but I do think that I have heard from the Lord, and I'm excited about the word on tonight, and I just want to give a little background. I think I'm excited because I'm trying something new, and because I'm trying something new, I feel refreshed, feel reborn. I just feel alive in my spirit because, you know, I'm taking what you want to call a social media break. I deleted all of my accounts, and I did it, and I want to spend time with the Lord. I want to spend more time with the Lord, and it's really different, and I say that I didn't think it would be that different. And I had a conversation with my wife, I think it was last week. She asked a question. She said, am I giving the Lord my best time or just any time? And, of course, I like to debate with my wife, and I'm like, what do you mean any time? Any time you give time to the Lord is a good time. That was my thought process at the time I was talking. But since I did this social media break, it's a big difference. And I see a big difference just in my own personal walk. It's just different because when you give the Lord your best time and not just any time, there's a difference. You know, a lot of times we will pray, we study, which I normally do, but normally I do it on the back end when I'm tired. I'm not 100% focused, so I really can't hear what the Lord is saying. But since I don't have social media or doing any of that, it's a big difference. It is working for me. That's all I'm going to say is working for me. But if you got your Bible, let's go to Mark, the second chapter, Art. And I'm going to be dealing with a subject, if I would use the subject, it is how do you minister in a full house? How do you minister in a full house? I'm going to talk about the church, and then I'm going to talk about my house. Now, wherever you fall into me when I talk about this, then hopefully you will get something out of it like the Lord has given me. But how do you minister in a full house? And I just want to talk for a minute. I was supposed to, but I'm not. But my wife is going to Ohio over the weekend. And she's going to go to Ohio, and she's going to stay with her sister, which she normally stays with when we go back home. And majority of the times during the holidays when we go home, we all stay with her sister. And my wife has five sisters, and out of the five sisters, all of them have five-plus kids. And all of us will go over her sister's house and stay. Now, it's a blessing to have your whole family under one roof, but if you don't prepare for your blessing can become a burden. I'm going to say that again. If you don't prepare for your blessings, it can become a burden. And if you're ministering in a full house and you're not prepared for a full house, it can become a burden. And I just want you to follow with me in the scriptures. Mark, the second chapter, starting with the first verse. I'm going to read 1 through 12. And excuse me because my voice is a little raspy, but we're going to try to get through this. And Mark, the second chapter, verses 1. Mark, the second chapter. And I'm starting with verse 1 through 12. And it says, and again, he entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together, so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So they had broken through. They let him down. They let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." And some of the scribes were sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak blaspheming like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus with themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easy to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or say, 'Arise, take your bed, and walk.' But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he arose, took his bed, and went out the presence of all of them, so that all were amazed and glorified, saying, "We never saw anything like this." And I'm going to stop right there. And we're going to talk about ministering in a full house. And there's a lot of things in here I want to do. About three things I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to be done. One of the things I want to talk about is there was a man that was paralyzed, and he was going to the house with his four friends, carrying him to the house to see the Lord to get healed. But he couldn't get in the house because it was standing room only. There was nobody. It was packed. The house was damn packed. Now, if you go back to the first verse, chapter 1, Jesus healed a man and told him, don't go and tell anybody, but he went and told everybody. So therefore, when Jesus was coming to this house, it was rumored that Jesus was going to be at this house. So a lot of people was in the house. It was standing room only. People wanted to hear the word from Jesus. And here comes a man whose heart wasn't right and was sick, but couldn't get to Jesus because of the crowd. And it was hard for them to get him to see Jesus. They couldn't go in the door. And I just want to show you something real quick. It was hard for him to get in the house to see Jesus. It was hard. I'm not making it up. It's right there in the Bible. It said there was a lot of people, standing room only. He could not get in. But his heart was sick, and he was sick. His heart wasn't right, and he was paralyzed. And he heard that Jesus was going to be in the house teaching, which Jesus was. But he could not get in. It was hard for this man to see Jesus with his four friends who was taking him to the house of the Lord to see Jesus. But because the house was so full, they were not prepared for their blessings. A lot of times our house is so full, we're not prepared for the blessings. Our blessings become burdens. They could not get in the house for this man who was sick, who needed to see Jesus. So they couldn't get in the normal way. So what they ended up doing was they ended up taking him on the roof, lower him down. Now, I'm going to fast forward all the way up, because when Jesus healed him, I just want to show you something. You see how hard it was for this man to get in the house? But when he got healed, when Jesus healed him, and he said, pick up your bed and go home, everyone got out of his way. I'm going to let that meditate for y'all for a minute. When he got healed and got what he wanted from Jesus, everybody got out of his way. Everyone moved out so he can go on out, pick up your bed and go. And it was easy for him to leave. But it was hard for him when he needed Jesus to get in the house. Oh, this sounds like church. This sounds like church. It was hard to get in because of the people. Now, I'm not mad at the people, because if I was there, I wanted to be around Jesus too. I want to hear the teachings of Jesus too. But we have to be in a place that we have to understand that when we're asking for God for growth, we have to understand that people on the outside need to come on the inside. And we can't just hog up the inside, because people on the outside need Jesus just as well as we do. These people didn't even want this man in the house because of their own selfish gain. And he needed it. He was being carried by four friends.
He was sick. He looked sick. And they wouldn't even let him in. So they had to be creative and go above the roof to let him in.
Now I just want to say this, too, because I had this in my notes. A lot of times there's only two ways that we can grow, inward and upward. These men didn't want to go backwards. They either wanted to go in the way you normally go in, but because they couldn't get in the normal way, they had to create a way. So they had to go up on the roof. So either you're going to go in or you're going to go up. Never go backwards. But a lot of times we as Christians, because we can't get in, we contend, well, we'll do it next week. We'll go the following week. We'll go the following week. And yet we'll never get our blessing. So here's a crowded house with a bunch of people listening to the Lord, but we couldn't get the people who needed to hear the word in the house. Anyone have any comments or questions so far?
I just want to make one comment. How bad do you want it?
It's good. It's good. I like that. And Oliver, you said that there's two ways that we can grow, and that's inward and upward.
Inward and upward. They didn't go backwards. If you couldn't get in through the door the correct way, sometimes you got to go above on top of the roof in order to do what you got to do in order to see Jesus. But never did they go backwards. Never did they turn around. Never did they retreat. You're either going to go forward or you're going to go upward. And when you go upward, you're looking up. And when you look up, you're looking up to the S-O-N. And they had to go on top of the roof. And when they saw him, measured him down to where Jesus was, Jesus immediately saw him. Amen? I'm going to keep it moving because there's a lot in here that I want to unpack. And like I said, one of the first things is it was hard to get in, but easy to get out. A lot of times we get what we want from the Lord, and it's easy for us, and they were all amazed. It was all cheering, and they got out of the way. My question is, why was it so hard for them to let this man in? And a lot of times when we're trying to grow as Christians, when we're trying to grow as a church, when we're trying to grow as a family, we want to be in the house, but we don't want to make preparations for growth. Because if you make preparations for growth, it wouldn't have been hard for this man to get in. And a lot of times, including in my house, we want to keep it a certain way. Even though people are trying to get in, we're trying to keep them out. Even though the house that we live in is supposed to be the house of the Lord. Even though they're coming in with bad conditions and messed up attitudes, we want to keep them out of the house instead of letting them come in the house. And it's very important because if you read the script, if you're reading it and you're seeing it, it's right there. It was crowded. They didn't want this man to get in the house. And what I like about the four friends is that the four friends that brought him to the house, this is another thing that I want to talk about, is when Jesus, when they got him there and they got him on top of the roof and they started to lower him down, Jesus was impressed with the four friends. And the thing that I like about the four friends, they don't have a name. It doesn't say who their name was. Because they're, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have a question. You said that the house was crowded and the people did not want this man in the house?
No, I just said it was crowded. They've made it hard for him to get in the house. The house was crowded.
Okay, so the house was crowded.
It was standing room only because Jesus was teaching.
So the house was crowded because they was there to see Jesus, not just because they didn't want that man to get in.
But the thing about that is the man was being carried. He was paralyzed. He was sick. You could see that the man was sick. Right. You could see that he was paralyzed. Right. They didn't make room for him to come in the house. It was hard to get him in the house. And when we see people in a condition, we're supposed to get out of the way so they can come in. Because sometimes when we're in the house,
there's people outside trying to get in. And if we don't let them in, sometimes, not in this case, because of the paralegal, he was sick. His heart wasn't right, but he had four friends who was trying to get him to see Jesus, and they couldn't get him in the house. If I'm carrying someone that's sick to church and it's crowded, sometimes people won't let you get in because they want their seat. They won't let you get in because they already have what they need. And I'm not mad at the crowd, because if I was there, I would want to hear the teachings of Jesus as well. But this man could not get in. So what they did was they was creative, and sometimes in our ministry, we have to be creative, because sometimes you can't go in the door. You have to go on top of the roof. And when you go on top of the roof, I want to get this out. The four men that did this, Jesus saw him, the four men, and he identified, before he identified with the man that was paralyzed, he identified with the four men because their cause was greater than their identity. I'm going to say that again. The four men that brought this man there, their cause was greater than their identity. Other words, they were doing the work of the Lord, and it was greater than being acknowledged about their name. And a lot of times we, as people of God, want our names heard, found, and praised because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, what we were called to do. But these men didn't give their name because of the cause of what they were trying to do. And sometimes if you're working for the Lord and you're looking for name recognition, you're not busy enough for the Lord, because you shouldn't, if you're doing it because you were called, you really shouldn't be worried about your name because of the cause. And because of the cause, Jesus acknowledged that in the scripture. I just want to go here and read something real quick in the verse, because it's in the text. And I believe it's in verse 3. Hold on a second. I just want to read this. And it says in verse 3, then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof. See, they're talking about the four men. They're not giving a name because of the cause. The cause was they were trying to get this man to Jesus. And whenever you have a cause for the Lord, it ain't about you. So a lot of times when you're trying to minister in a full house, it ain't about you. It ain't about your name, but it's a Jesus' name. And when you get in your mind that it's not about you, it's about Jesus, Jesus recognizes them for men even before he even got to deal with the paralyzed man. And that's what, to me, that's what's awesome. If I can just lose my identity for Christ, and it's not about Elder Olive, it's not about whoever, it's about doing what God wants us to do. But if you get frustrated sometimes because you're not getting your name called, because these four men could have easily, like, we can't get in. We'll bring him back another day. They could have made a whole lot of excuses because of the crowd. And I'm not faulting the crowd. Don't get me wrong. The crowd didn't do anything wrong, but the crowd was insensitive to a person's need. And how many times has we been in church have been insensitive to people who's trying to come into the church? So what I'm saying is, ministering in a full house, sometimes we got to get out of the way so the people on the outside can come on the inside. Anyone have any more questions?
Good stuff.
So now let's deal. I want to deal with Jesus and his man, because Jesus went to fix the man's heart, and the people, they didn't say it out loud, but they were thinking it. They were thinking, how are you going to fix this man's heart? You're black. They didn't understand what Jesus was doing. They just wanted him to heal this man, but Jesus didn't want to just heal this man. He wanted to fix his heart first. A lot of times we want to get our healing, we want to get our miracle, we want to get our blessing, and our heart ain't fixed. And the people that was in the house, said that the scribes were sitting there, they was reasoning in their hearts. And because the Lord Jesus, he knows everything, he knows that what they were reasoning with. He knew that they wasn't really agreeing with what he was doing or the way he was doing it, and he told them, why are you reasoning against what I'm doing? I'm going to fix his heart. Then I'm going to fix his body. And a lot of times we want it the opposite way, just like these people. We want the healing, but we don't want our heart fixed. We want the blessing, but we don't want our heart fixed. We still want to do our nasty little dirt, but we still want the blessings of God. But when Jesus said, I'm going to fix his heart, then I'm going to fix him. And that's exactly what he did. Anyone have any questions? Any comments?
Yeah, I like to say he wanted to fix the inward part first. And the people just was looking at the physical part. They were just looking at the outside. So, you know, you have to back it up. I didn't want to go help me.
Okay, you just went. I didn't hear what the last thing you said, Eldon.
Eldon, you got to speak into your phone. We can barely hear you, Eldon Taylor.
Okay. I was just saying that, you know, the people were looking at the outward appearance, and Jesus was looking at the inward part, as he always does. And, you know, a lot of times we get caught up in what the outward appearance were. You know, and they was probably thinking, you know, we want to see the man healed. We want to see him walking first, you know. And the Lord knew that in order for this man to really appreciate it, because his heart wasn't right at first. And for him to really appreciate the healing, he had to fix the inward man first, you know, in order for him to walk for the Lord, you know. So that's what I'm getting right now. And I've heard this story, I don't know how many times in my walk with the Lord throughout my life, you know, and I always get something new, something refreshing, and something a little different, you know, and so that's kind of what I see right now.
Okay, anyone else before I move on?
Elder, sorry. I'm like Elder Taylor. I've heard this story a lot of times, but something that just kind of really caught my attention is the four friends. It just reminds me, who are we bringing to Christ? Who is it that we have such a heart of compassion for that we would want to present them to Christ? Knowing what Christ can do for them. Because these four guys, they had to been hearing about what Jesus had been doing, how he had been healing, and how he had been casting out demons. So I'm going to deal more with the four friends than him, because they had to been hearing about Jesus. And that had to been going throughout the city. So here it was, they were like, look, We need to get Chuck and take Chuck to this house because Jesus is in the city.
Right.
And it's like, do we present, are we as excited about Jesus that we want to tell somebody else about Jesus?
Right.
Are we so excited about him? Are we so in love with him? Do we know what he's done for us, and we want to express that to other people? So we have people in mind that we know are sick. And do we say to ourselves, oh, my God, I know somebody that's sick. I know somebody that I need to get to Jesus. I know somebody that I need to present Jesus to. So are we as excited as these four friends to say, let me go get Junebug, because Junebug need to Jesus, because Jesus is alive and well and interceding and praying on Junebug's behalf. So we need to be praying for Junebug and get him to Jesus.
Amen.
It's a reminder to us. Are we one of the friends that we have that tenacity that we are going to get this person to Jesus? Because we know that if we get them to Jesus, they're going to be delivered. They're going to be healed. They're going to be set free. They're going to be made whole.
Right.
Because we've heard what Jesus can do. Because we've heard. Not only have we heard, but we know what he's done in our own lives.
Right. We've experienced it ourselves.
Right. So
Amen.
Are we going to be that one of them friends that say, I got to get you to Jesus? You know, it's not about what I got going on. I got to get you to Jesus. It's not about what I did yesterday or what I'm going to do tomorrow, but I got to get you to Jesus today. I need to present this Savior, this Messiah, this teacher, this healer, this deliverer, this way maker, this promise keeper. I need to present him to you.
Amen.
So great lesson on tonight. Thank
Amen.
You,
and I'm just going to piggyback off what you were saying, because the shout of the whole text for me is in verse 5 and talking about the four friends. And it says in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he wasn't talking about the paralytic man. He wasn't talking about the sick man. He's talking about the four friends. When he saw their faith is when he went and dealt with the sick man. A lot of times we don't know how powerful we are when we go get somebody and bring them to Jesus. They may not believe, they may not want it, but because of your faith, because of the cause that he's had you do, he's going to bless them because of you.
Yeah.
And these four friends, right there in verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, talking about the four friends,
their faith.
And I just wanted to say this because we read this scripture lots of times, but this hit me because I was the one that was sick. And I had people carrying me, believing in me, even when I didn't want to do right. My father, he stayed before the Lord on my behalf. My grandmother stayed before the Lord, even when I didn't want to do it, even when I didn't want to do it, they carried me to Jesus. And upon their prayers, I was healed. Upon their prayers, I was able to do what God wanted me to do. So it's very important that when we talk about growth in a big house, when we talk about growth in the church, we have to do what God wants us to do and go get people and bring them to Jesus. And it ain't about their faith. It's about your faith. Because if we can get together and go out and bring people in the house, Jesus is going to look at our faith and bless them. And it's right there in verse 5. It's right there. Upon their faith, then he went to deal with the man. He didn't ask the man if he believed. He didn't say. He dealt. Jesus did that. It wasn't the men. It was Jesus. So this tells me altogether, when we're in the house of the Lord, it ain't about us. All we have to do is be willing and do what he tells us to do and go get the people. And if we are faithful enough to believe that Jesus can heal them, if we are faithful enough to believe that Jesus can touch them, if we believe it, then Jesus will do it upon our belief. Everybody's not going to believe it, but if we go get them and take them to where Jesus is. But what happens is Jesus ain't even in the church no more. That's why the church ain't crowded. I'm
going to
say that again.
Like
there
that.
Was a rumor.
Like
there was a rumor that Jesus was going to be at this house. So people was going to the house based on what they heard. They were going to the house based on what they knew. They were going to the house based on a rumor that Jesus was going to be there, and Jesus was there. How many of us is going to go out this week and tell people Jesus is going to be in the house on Sunday? Or are we going to deal with the other rumors about what's going on? Who like Sister So-and-so? Whose clothes is too tight? Who's doing this? Who's doing that? That's the rumors we like to play with. But are we going to put the rumor out that Jesus is going to be in the house on Sunday? And are we going to go out and get somebody sick and bring them into the house? It's right there in verse 5.
Right.
is right there. And when we go get the people in the house, we want to pick and choose who we want to come into the house. The question is, are we dealing with a full house or are we dealing with an empty house? And if you don't know how to manage the growth of the house, it can become a burden, just like this man trying to get in. Wouldn't no one say, come on, come in, brother. You need Jesus. Come on in. Even though he looked sick. Even though he didn't appear to be well. And a lot of times, and I'm guilty, go to church and take up space that someone else should be there. And I was too lazy. I was too pathetic to go get them, to bring them to the house. But when we get in the house, we just want to stand there and take up space when people on the outside are trying to come on the inside. And the question is can you minister in a full house? Can you be like one of the four friends and go get somebody? And even though they stop you at the door because you can't get in, will you be creative and go on top of the roof because you can't get in through the door? It's a question I had to ask myself. Is something that I have to deal with myself, because I just want to be in the house. And because I'm in the house, I'm good. Not thinking about people on the outside trying to come on the inside. And this is what this is telling me. I don't know what it's telling everybody else, but this is what it's telling me. And the four nameless friends, it wasn't about them being nameless. This is about them doing what God wanted them to do. A lot of us want to be name recognizers, because this is what we do. This is how I do it. This is what, and if you don't get your name recognized, then it's a problem. It's an issue. And sometimes we can't do everything the way that has always been done, by coming in the front door. Because sometimes the front door can be crowded. We have to be creative in how we get people to Jesus. Just like these four men. They couldn't get them in the door. They never backed up. They never retreated. They just went up higher and dropped him down to where Jesus was. Are we willing to make those sacrifices? Are we willing to do the extra work to go above a roof and tear it up or lift it up or raise it up so people can see Jesus? Not one of them complained about carrying a man, because I can only imagine he was heavy. I could imagine by it being crowded, they were getting pushed and bumped. And all the excuses that we make, this is too much. It ain't even worth it. We'll just bring him back next time when it ain't so crowded. Yeah. That's why a lot of times when we ask the Lord to bless us, are we really prepared for the blessings? Because a lot of times our blessings become burdens because we didn't prepare for the growth. And in this house, they didn't prepare for the growth. Because if they were prepared for the growth, there would have been an easy access for him to get to Jesus. It should never be hard to get to Jesus. But as soon as Jesus healed the man, it was real easy for him to leave. Because they was all celebrating. They was all glorifying. They were all on one. Now it's a good thing, because Jesus didn't work the miracle in this man's life. Before the miracle even happened, they did not want, when I say they didn't want him to get in, they were just more worried about self. And sometimes you got to lose yourself in order to do what Christ would have you to do, because it's not about us. It's about him. Anyone have any more comments?
Yes, I had a quick comment. Who could rely on you to carry them when they can't carry themselves?
That's a good comment. I like that.
Say that one more time, Evangelist.
Rely on you to carry them? Can somebody rely on you to carry them when they can't carry themselves? Who can rely on you? Can somebody rely on you to carry
That's
them
good.
If they can't carry themselves?
Right.
And I'm not just talking about carry. I'm talking about pray for them when they can't pray for themselves.
Right. Right.
So just be there for encouraging words. Who encouraged the encourager? Who does for those who always doing for everybody else? I mean, it's just, can somebody rely on you when they can't do? But if you're always the one that's always doing, who can you rely on? Can you rely on somebody when you can't do something for yourself? And are you the reliable one? Are you the one that always relying on somebody to carry you?
Well, I, you know, to answer the, I don't know if you're to answer the question or not, but, you know, who can you carry, or, you know, if you're carrying someone and when you need to be carried, who can carry you? I like to look at these four people who was, don't have a name, but they were there for the cause. And if you surround yourself around certain people, you should always have someone to carry you. There should always be someone carrying you to try to see the Lord when you need to be carried. And just like these four people who was carrying this man who needed to be carried, they were all on one accord. They were all in unison. They was trying to get this man the help that he needed. And me personally, and I said this in verse 5, when I said me, I used to be on that bed. And people was carrying me. People was praying for me not to be a failure, not to, you know, it was, like I said, one of them was my father. He stayed before the Lord and praying for me, even when I didn't want it, even when I was trying to fight against it. My grandmother, a few elders, they were there for me because they didn't want to see me in that condition. And I think everyone has that core group of people who carried you to the Lord. And when they carried you to the Lord, even though we didn't want it, I can't speak for everybody, but there was a time I just didn't want it. But they were still carrying me because they saw the potential in me. And because I have that, and when I see this scripture, okay, now it's my job to go out and get somebody because someone did it for me. Someone did it for me. It's my job to go out and get somebody. But because I'm so caught up in the crowd, so caught up in the house, at some time, I just want to be a part of the crowd. I don't want to go get nobody. And this is part of growth. This is part, how do you grow? Well, if you're just standing in the house and you're not going outside the house to get anybody, then you're not growing. You can't carry nobody. You ain't trying to carry nobody. Question that I have to ask myself, that I hope everyone asks themselves, who are you trying to carry? And not only who you trying to carry, but can you be carried? Can I be carried? Can someone tell me this is what you need to do in order to get closer to the Lord? This is how you need to get closer to the Lord. Can someone carry me? And once they carry me, can I return the favor and do it for somebody else? That's how the church grows. But we can't grow if we're just in a standing room only, and we're just standing there, and you only got a few people, four. And no one tried to help these four get in the door because they were standing. They were stuck in their own mind. They wanted to hear what Jesus wanted to say, even though somebody needed him more. Because he was paralyzed and his heart wasn't right. And then when Jesus went to fix his heart, they wanted to question, why are you messing with this man's heart? And a lot of times, I'm not saying anybody on the panel, but a lot of times, church folks, we get caught up in the church. We get caught up in standing and having a good seat and taking up space. But we don't want to help the people come in that needs to come in. Even though it's good for us being there, there's people who need him more. We hear the word. We're there. We're right there in the front. We see it. We hear it every week. It's time for us to go get some people and bring them in the house. And that's pretty much all I got to say about that. That's pretty much what the Lord is telling me with these scriptures. It's a crowded house. And because the house is crowded, there's a lot of obstacles that these men had to go through to get to Jesus. There's a lot of maneuvering they had to do to get to Jesus. But as soon as that man got to Jesus, it was was so easy for him to walk out of the house, but it was hard to get in. And that's another one of my points. It shouldn't be that hard to get to Jesus. And it shouldn't really be that easy to get away from him. Because once he gets to Jesus, we ought to grab people and keep them close to Jesus. It should have been just as hard for him to get out. But it was easy for him to get out, but hard for him to get in. And that's just a little side note.
I just think it was easier for him to get out because he was now delivered. He was delivered. He was set
right. So it was easy for him to get out. But my question is if he wasn't set free and he was looking to be set free, it was hard to get in. And the point that I'm trying to make tonight is even in today's church, it's hard to get in, but easy to get out. And it should be the other way around. It should be the other way around. And if we as people of God and want to be like one of these four friends, whatever they had to do to get him to that's what we got to do. We just can't just stand still and just be still and not do nothing. As long as we got space, as long as we can hear the word, as long as we're getting the word, then that's not what God called us to do, is just hear the word. We got to be doers, and we got to go out and get them. And that's just what the Lord has given me. Because a lot of times we come to church just taking up space and ain't bringing nobody in. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about any individual. I'm just saying, because I don't know what people do outside of what that, but I'm talking about in the house. I'm talking about in the church. And I think the church has become too relaxed, too comfortable, too easy. And you don't see these four people, the four friends. Are we one of the four friends? Are we the people in the house? That's the question. And I can honestly say, you know, when I was going through this, I was convicted because I'm just in the house. I'm just chilling. I'm just taking in all the word. I'm hearing Jesus teach. I'm seeing him heal. But am I going out getting anybody to be healed? Am I going out? Am I doing what the word tells me to do, like these four men were? And like I said, their cause was greater than their identity. And a lot of people in the church want their identity more so than the cause.
That's right.
That's the sad part about the church. Because if you don't never say, and I'm going to put this on me, if Elder Oliver's name don't get called, I'm going to have an attitude.
Yeah.
I'm going to be upset. I done did all this work and ain't no one acknowledging me. And it's not about Derek because there's no power in Derek.
Yeah.
There's no power in Prince Tabernacle.
I was going to say, Elder Oliver, if I can jump in real quick, that, you know, there's no power in the people that you want to call your name. They don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. That the ones that you want to hear your name come out their mouth so bad, you know, does it mean they living bad? No, it doesn't. But the ones that we're looking for acknowledgement, all this acknowledgement from in the church, you know, don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in, you know. And the one that we need to be seeking acknowledgement from, the one that we need to be looking to, you know, for everything that we need, whether our name is ever mentioned again or not, it needs to be Jesus. He has to be the one, you know, and that's what these four men were about. They could care less, you know. They just trying to get a man that they knew that needed Jesus to Jesus, regardless if their name was ever mentioned or wrote about or anything. Because they didn't know 1,000 and something years later,
well over a thousand, you know, thousands of years later that we will be reading about them now, talking about them now, acknowledging them now. They didn't know that. They were just trying to get someone that they knew that needed Jesus to go see him and to get him to the man of God at all costs, regardless of what it took. And that's just what they did. So it's so many underlining stories that we could take from this lesson tonight. And I'm sure everybody that has listened to this can find themselves somewhere in this story. You know, somewhere, whether they can find themselves along with the paralytic, or they can find themselves along with one of the four men, or they can find themselves being one of the people in the house that wouldn't acknowledge to let them in through the front door. You know, so it was a good Bible study tonight, brother. I really appreciate it. All right, I'm done.
I have a comment before you close. I just have a question. This was more to me as a leading Christ. How many people have we been around, or I'm not even talking about bringing nobody to church. I'm talking about leading them to Christ. How many times have we sat around people? I'm sorry?
I'm just saying, say that again. I didn't hear the first part.
It's more, this to me is more as a leading to Christ. I'm not talking about bringing somebody to church. I'm talking about leading them to Christ.
Right. Exactly.
They led him to Christ.
Right. Good.
So forget about, they might not ever go to a church, but how many people have we led to Christ? How many have we just stopped and prayed for somebody and asked them, do they know Jesus? Gave them a plan of salvation. You know, and even if you don't see them again, give them and that's my way of winning souls. If they don't ever come to the church, I have a piece of money in my hand. And I walk up to them, you know Jesus loves you? Yeah, they'll say, yeah, can I bless you with this money? I give them a piece of money. You said you know Jesus, or you say, do you love the Lord? Now, they don't want to hear what you got to say unless you got their attention if you give them something that they need. You meet the need first. Meet their need, even a beggar. If a beggar, I led a beggar to Christ at Quick Trip. Before I gave him a piece of money, I said, before I give you this money, I want to pray for you. He didn't want a prayer. I said, well, can I lead you to Christ? He said, sure. I led him to Christ, and I gave him a piece of money. How many people are we leading to Christ? Not bringing to church, but leading to Christ. Like these four men did. They led him to Christ. They weren't in the synagogue. They weren't in the church. They were at somebody's house. Start leading people to Christ where they are. Meet people with their needs. Meet them at their needs. Meet them, you know, we can do so much for people. Meet them where they at.
Yeah.
Meet them where they at. Don't wait to get there. They might not make it to church. Lead them to Christ right then and there. We should be the light that God called us to be. Everywhere. Not just in church. Not just at home. Everywhere we go.
Amen. I agree. So the only thing I'm going to say about that is not going against anything that you're saying, because we should be able to lead people to Christ. But everyone's not equipped to do that. And what happens is, even when you see the people in the house, even the four friends, they were taking them to Jesus. I'm not saying that they couldn't do it on their own, but sometimes people are not equipped. And And just like the people were standing in the house, they don't know what to do. And it's easy because when I say this, I'm not, you know, because we're seasoned in the Lord and we know how to lead people to Christ. But everybody that's say that they're saved and love the Lord, they don't have that desire. They don't have that know-how. And the only way you got to be led by the Spirit. And a lot of people are not being led by the Spirit. They just religiously. And we could mess up people by trying to do something or acting something that we have no clue of what's going on. And that's people that have been in church 20 years that don't know how to lead people to Christ, don't know how to minister, don't know how to give, don't know how to be led by the Spirit. And when you know how to be led by the Spirit, it's people who what? Know the Word of God, study the Word of God, praying, fasting. But majority of the people, and people that have been in church for years, they don't know that. They just know religion.
It's not hard. It's nothing complicated about it. The only thing that they need to have to do is know just one scripture. There's Romans 10:9-10. If they confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus Christ died and rose on the third day, that's all they have to say. There is nothing complicated about it.
No, I agree with you. It's nothing complicated. It's very simple. It's easy. It's easy anyone can understand that and do it.
All the listeners, if you don't know how to lead nobody to Christ, go to Romans 10:9-10. That's it. It's nothing complicated about it. That's all they have to do is believe, confess, and believe that Christ died and rose on the third day, okay, and want to change. There's nothing complicated about it.
Oh, I agree with you. It's not complicated. I'm just, you know, the church today, and I'm just speaking about the church, people in the church, you know, when you say it's that simple, it is that simple. It's simple to love one another. It's simple to forgive one another, but we don't do it. We don't practice it. We don't do it. I'm not saying you don't or I don't. I'm just saying majority of the people, they don't do it. That's why there's a lot of confusion. That's why the church ain't strong. That's why the church isn't growing. It has nothing to do with it being easy or hard. It's the fact that people just don't want to do it, and they don't do it. And it's not something complicated. This is very easy. Being a Christian, leading people to Christ is very simple. There's nothing hard. You don't need a degree. It's very simple. And like the scripture Evangelist Blewett just gave, Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, very simple. And if you want to go even easier, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's simple. But how many of us are doing it? How many of us are really doing it? In my opinion, it's just my opinion, and I'm just gonna say it. We'd rather be in the house taking up space. We ain't trying to lead nobody to Christ. We ain't trying to be out ministering when we at Walmart or at the store or at Quick Trip. I'm not saying you don't do it, but of course, people who are being led by the Spirit that are doing it on a daily basis, you know, that's what we do. We don't need recognition. We don't need patted on the back. We ain't got to broadcast it. We ain't got to do anything because the Lord is going to take care of us. It's the people that's in the, that's not doing anything is pretty much what I'm saying. And it's not that complicated. It's very simple. It's very simple. But we make it hard because we get caught up, not in the Spirit, but we get caught up in religion.
Okay.
We get caught up in familiarities of certain things. We're not trying to be disciples of Christ. We're just trying to look good for ourselves. And that's really the bottom line.
Yeah, we worry about what people going to think, what people going to say.
Elder Taylor, you got to speak in your phone because we're having a hard time hearing you.
I was saying that because we get worried about what people going to think or what people going to say, instead of being concerned about the soul of a person. You know, that's a point that I would like to add. You know, we can't be worried about what people are going to say about us, what people are going to think about us. Because those four men, they didn't care at all what all the crowd inside the house was going to think when they tore the roof back and was lowering this man down. They didn't care what the people thought. You know? So, you know, we can't care about what people always think and what people always say that don't know you, that don't know what, you know. That's what I got. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. There's a question that comes to mind over this scriptures that you went over tonight, Elder Oliver, when Jesus saw their faith. So this question that the scribe, which was a doctor of the law, a doctor of the commandments, a scribe was a person that taught along with the priest. There was a question he asked Jesus, trying to stomp Jesus or humiliate Jesus or put Jesus out there. So the question he asked was, "But who is my neighbor?" And of course, it didn't stomp Jesus, but Jesus gave him a parable. And the parables that Jesus would give people behind their actions or their questions or statements that they make, he always gave a parable in relation to how they were living at the moment. So what he spoke about in parables, he spoke about what they knew. So he asked, the scribe asked, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus, you know, gave the parable about the priest. You know, there was a man that was taken down by thieves on his way to Jerusalem, and he was beaten to half dead. His clothes were stolen and whatever wealth he had. And then a priest came by and saw him and walked on the other side of the street. A scribe, which the one that asked Jesus the question, he used the word scribe, came by and saw the man and went on the other side of the street. But then a Samaritan came to him, straight to him, took him to the inn and took care of him. So who is my neighbor? So I would think that these four gentlemen that had heard about Jesus and his healing, because the book of Mark speaks of healings and miracles and the power of Lord, of Jesus, specifically on miracles and healing. So they had heard, like you mentioned earlier, about Jesus, right? So Jesus was in the house. The house was packed. But their faith and what they had heard built their faith that if they could just get him before Jesus, because they heard about how he healed so many others, their faith in believing, and you can stop right there, their faith. We have to have faith when we don't know how we want to do something, but we have to have faith to see it through. So all we got to do is go forward in the faith, not knowing how we're going to do something, and Jesus will complete it, as he did with these four gentlemen. So when he saw their faith, that is so important in this context, when he saw their faith. So what is, and based on the conversation that y'all are having right now, what does Jesus see our faith at? True, a lot of people can't lead people to Christ, and a lot of people can. And then there's a lot of people that don't know they can, right? But it's based on faith.
Yeah.
It's based on faith. We can argue about this all night and never win the argument. You got a group that can lead people. You got a group that can't, and you got a group don't know if they can. Four men. The faith of the four men could not get in through the front door or the back door because of the press, because of the crowd, because of other people wanting to be in front of Jesus, other people wanting to be in the presence of Jesus. They wasn't thinking about anything around them. And you can get blindsided like that where you don't care what's going on around you. You're just trying to get your focus on Jesus. But who is my neighbor plays a big part in that. So you would think that the people seeing four men carrying a person and they hearing about the healing power of Jesus would step aside and let them get in. But they had a need also. So we can't take away from the needs of other people thinking that they don't or they do. We don't know. Other people have needs too, but what is your faith going to go beyond?
and they went on top of the house and broke up the tiling of the house and let him down in front of Jesus and in front of the people who already had an expectation of what Jesus could do. And when Jesus saw their faith. So we got to be careful of what, you know, we think people can do, what they can't do, blah, blah, blah. Faith, can you can do all things in Christ, all things. So our neighbors are the ones that we have compassion on, as Jesus has compassion on us every day. That's our neighbor. They brought their neighbor to see Jesus. That's all I got.
That's good.
Amen. Well, that was good. I really enjoyed it. And I think we all say we learned something. And like I said, you know, those men that, you know, when Jesus saw them, it's because of their faith. You know, the reason the man, the paralytic man, got healed because of their faith. And we just have to just be aware of what we're doing and how we're doing it. And as long as we're doing it in the name of Jesus, you know, all, you know, anything is, we can conquer anything as long as we're doing it in Jesus' name. And, you know, you can save, you can heal people, you can do it, and you may not even know you're doing it. You just have to have the faith and try to get them to Jesus. And sometimes you may not even get them to Jesus. You're being led by the Spirit. And that's pretty much the lesson I had for tonight, and I'm going to turn it over to Elder Taylor.
All right. Elder Oliver, Derek Oliver, great Bible study tonight, man. Very insightful, and, you know, hopefully it was very encouraging to the ones that had tuned in and listened, and hopefully everybody found themselves in this lesson tonight. I know I did. And so it's very encouraging, you know, to me to continue in my way, in my walk with the Lord, and to do better, you know. And every message that we hear, every word that we hear taught or spoken of or preached or ministered, it should make us want to do better. And that's what I'm finding out with these Bible studies week in and week out. So very good word, my friend, my brother. I appreciate you. I appreciate the panel that tuned in tonight. Evangelist Doug Stanley, Evangelist Ricky Bluett, Elder Bluett, you know, and I don't know if Minister Tolbert had tuned in or not, because I didn't hear him. But we just want to continue to press and to be encouraged and to encourage somebody else, because I'm sure this was very encouraging to the man that was on the bed and that was being carried by these four men. He was probably encouraged by these four men that was doing this for him, you know. So we just, and that's what we want to be. We want to be, as ministers, as people of God, we want to be in a position that people can count on us, as Evangelist Bluett was saying earlier. Can somebody count on us, you know? And so that's what we want to be, as a man and woman of God. Not just somebody with a title, but somebody that can encourage other people and that can lead other people to Christ, you know, that we know that needs the help of the Lord. And so that's what these four brothers did. So that was a good word tonight, brother. I hope everybody got something out of it. And Evangelist Stan, are you still on?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. I'm going to ask you if you could give us a status of any emails or have anybody emailed it, and if you can give out the email as well.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. We do have a prayer request on tonight to keep Brother Adore Tate in prayer. That's Sister Shan Tate's son. If we would please keep him in prayer. I don't know exactly everything that's going on, but God knows. And we just come in agreement that God is healing and delivering and bringing peace to his parents, and that they just continue to trust in God to do a great work. Our email address, if you have any prayer requests, any praise reports, our email address is PTC, that's P for praise, T for tabernacle, C as in church, 4, F-O-R, Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, at gmail.com. Once again, that is PTC, 4, Christ, at gmail.com. You can send your request. We will be in prayer, and also we will rejoice with you. If you have any topics that you would like to go over, for us to go over for Bible study, just let us know, and we'll go over those topics. And once again, let's be in prayer for Brother Adore Tate and his family, for healing and peace in the family in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Elder Taylor.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else would like to add anything before we dismiss that's on the panel tonight? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss us from Bible study tonight. Again, very encouraging, Elder Oliver. I appreciate you and Elder Blewett and Evangelist Blewett and Evangelist Stanton, who were part of the panel tonight. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate all of you. I love you all for what you do in the ministry and what you do for each other. And just keep our pastor lifted up and his wife lifted up in prayer. Bishop Omar Zachary, who is the pastor of Praise Tabernacle Church. Just keep mention his name to the Lord when you go into prayer. And that's for anybody that's listening tonight, for the man of God to be encouraged, to stay encouraged, for him and his family to draw strength from the Lord. All right. So I'm just going to do a quick prayer, then I'm going to give our commission scripture. Lord, we just want to say thank you again for another week, another Bible study, a good Bible study, Lord God, very insightful Bible study. And I just want to say, everyone that has tuned in, that is listening, that you bless their homes, their families, that you strengthen them, Lord God, with life, hope, and strength, Lord God, that they can continue to press on in you. It doesn't matter if they have some kind of title or not. If they can just be brother and sister in you, Jesus, but that you encourage them, strengthen them, Lord God, that they don't give up on who you are in their lives, Lord God, that you touch the families of everyone that's tuned in and the people that love them and care about them. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for who you are, Jesus, in our life, Lord God, and that you will always equip us day in and day out to share your gospel and who you are. And we just say thank you, Lord. And I just want to encourage everybody to encourage someone else. Be an encouragement. You know, be someone that somebody can count on and that can lean on you just a little bit, as well as find you somebody that you can lean on a little bit. You know, because we're still fleshly, but we don't have to live a fleshly lifestyle. We can still live a spiritual, in the name of Jesus, Holy Ghost-filled lifestyle. And when we fill with the Holy Ghost, we can know the difference between the flesh and the spirit. So just stay encouraged to everyone that's been listening week in and week out, okay? And our Sunday services, we still have our Sunday services. So we just want to encourage everybody. If you can't make it, tune in. If you live out of state, tune in. Okay. Evangelist Stanton, After I give the two scriptures, commissions scriptures, can you give everyone our schedule? So I'm a, commission scriptures are, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things and whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Evangelist Fang, if you can just do that, and then we'll go ahead and just dismiss.
Amen. Thank you, Elder. Our schedule is as follows. We do have Sunday morning live at the Tabernacle that is broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, that is Sunday morning service live at the Tabernacle, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is on the radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and live on Facebook. Then, of course, we have our Monday night D&K talk, D&K on Monday night. That is 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That is on Blog Talk Radio. Definitely, if you have not tuned in to D&K, you need to tune in to D&K. It is very, very informative and interesting. It's not a Bible study. It's a married couple talking, and they talk about real issues, life issues, and it's very, very good. So Monday night, D&K at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then we have our Tuesday night Bible study. Please, we invite you to join us to get your Bibles, your pencil, your paper, and to go back and study the scripture yourself, just like tonight, the word that Elder Oliver brought on tonight. Make sure that you go back and study. Go back to Mark chapter 2, read it, and see where you fit in at. Thursday night, we do have Bishop Omar and family, Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. Right now that is on hold. I'm not sure when that is going to resume, but it will be resuming. It's just a lot going on right now, so it has been on hold for the last few Thursdays, but it will be resuming. So that will be on Thursday night at 7 p.m., Bishop Omar Zachary and Family Ministries. So we ask that you do join us, get a word, get an encouraging word to help you go on each and every day. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a life thing. This word is for us to live each and every day. This word is for us to grow. This word is for us to be encouraged when we go on through something, or even when we're celebrating something. We should still turn to the word of God, because that is what's going to help us. Thank you, Elder Taylor. I appreciate you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. And again, panel, thank you all again for tuning in tonight, for your comments and response. And we look forward to coming back together again on next Tuesday. We are now dismissed from our Praise Tabernacle Bible study. God bless you all, and we love you. Thank you.